I hope you believe like I believe every bit of the Word of God. I don't believe there's anything in there that needs me to add anything to it. I don't think anything needs to be taken away from it. I believe what God's Word says, and I will stand upon that. Not just because I'm here in church. I'm going to stand on that because even if I'm out here in the world and somebody, I'm going to tell them, listen, I will believe what the Word of God says over anything out here. And that's just the way that I am, and I hope and pray that you're able to stand or sit here this morning and say the exact same thing. You know, I'm not going to ask you that, but you know what? I just pray that you believe that this morning, because I'm going to get into some stuff today, and I want you to understand this, that, you know, whenever I get into it, I mean, I don't know what you heard down through the years, what you've been taught, but we're going to talk about some things this morning that God has impressed upon me that I want to talk a little bit about with you today. Okay, Luke 4, verse 7 and 8. When you're there, please stand. Let's read God's Word. Let's read in honor of God's words before Him, please. If thou therefore will worship me, shall all be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, we come thanking you, Father, for your mercy, for your grace, Lord, for your love, for all that you bestowed upon us. I thank you for the opportunity that I have to stand up here behind the sacred desk, Lord. I ask you, Father, to go out amongst the people, Lord. Go out amongst them, open up their hearts, open up their minds, Lord. I pray, Father, that in all that you do, Lord, I pray here this morning that the anointing would be upon the service this morning, and that, Lord, that the sermon will go out the way that you want it to, and we will ask you and praise you in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. To say that we are living in unusual times would be an understatement, and I don't want to beat a dead horse because we normally do beat dead horses as preachers sometimes, we really do. And that has caused many Christians, I think, to be confused. Because there is an American Bible, and theirs is an American Christianity. But I want to tell you something this morning, and I want you to understand this. If something you believe only works in your community, and only works in your nation, and only works in your household, and only works here and there, and doesn't work anywhere else, you better reevaluate what you believe. Because we don't just have an American Christianity. And we don't just have an American Bible. God did not just write this Bible for America, or the United States of America. He didn't do it that way. We, you know what, we just as sometimes we feel like just because we're under liberty and we're under freedom, is that was established by our founding fathers, that somehow or the other we are God's nation. Now, that's not the case. That's not the case. And I want you to understand that here. Because the Bible was written to all men and women everywhere. It was written everywhere to everybody. I don't care if you live in Haiti. I don't care where you live. This Bible should apply to everyone, no matter where it's at. The Bible says in Luke 4, 5, and 6, and the devil, I'm going to go back over again. The devil led him up into a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said unto him, this is the devil talking to Jesus. I will give you all this and all their authority and splendor, and it will be given to you, and I can give it to any, and if I want to give it to anyone, listen to me. I want you to understand something about this. What did the devil ask Jesus? What did he tell Jesus? You get this? I will give you all the kingdoms and all the authorities over these kingdoms. Did you notice what was missing from Jesus' answer? I want you to look at that. Read the rest of that passage with me. Let's read Luke 4. And the devil taketh him up into a high mountain, shewed him unto all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Delivered unto who? Satan. Delivered unto
me. Read it again. Delivered unto me, and to whomsoever, what? I will give it. If thou will therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. But did you see how Jesus answered him? He didn't say, devil, that's not true. He said, you shall worship the Lord thy God and him only. He didn't tell him that he couldn't give him these kingdoms, because Jesus knew the devil could do that. Do you understand? Look at that scripture and tell me if that's what I'm reading is right. He told him that power was in me. Did you notice something about the Lord's hand? He didn't dispute what the devil said in that aspect of it. He said, you're not supposed to worship Satan. You're not supposed to worship the devil. But he did not dispute in what he could do. If you would study the world's history, you will see and support the truth that was spoken on that mountain that day. The devil is a liar. But the devil only tells part truth sometimes. And he told a part truth here. Satan is a liar, but not everything he said here was a lie. Jesus is the truth, and everything that he says is the truth always. So when Satan said the kingdoms of the world could be delivered unto me, that is a biblical fact that goes all the way back to Genesis. Satan could have given him those. Now, don't get me wrong, God's all powerful. But God only goes to his limits, what God wants to do. And I'll get into that here shortly. Listen, when Satan says, I have power to deal out unto these nations as I see fit, that is a biblical statement, that is a biblical truth. Understand that. I got more scripture that's going to prove this here shortly. When God showed Nebuchadnezzar, then showed Daniel, then Daniel told it back to Nebuchadnezzar. Listen to what he said. He said this, of the Gentile powers that would fall in line in the upcoming centuries, all of them, the Babylonians, the Medes, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, and that which is established today, that part of iron and part clay, none of these are godly, and none of them will be godly. It's just not going to happen. There may be some times that you may look at it and it may look like that they are, but they're not. None of these were honoring the Lord. God allowed Satan to establish his rule over human beings for whatever reason that it may be. He's allowed it. And quite consistently to the harm of those human beings. I'm not trying to stir up controversy. I want to show you something, but as an American, I want you to look at something. And as God has showed this to me, I said, Lord, I said, these people are going to think that I'm half nuts here. Or maybe you think I'm fool nuts. But as Americans, you may be in trouble by what you're seeing in this nation the last few years. But I'm here to tell you, and maybe years to come, but may I remind you, you were born into a nation that was formed under very unique circumstances. This is a very unique nation that you live in. Freedom, in any other country, freedom has never been the norm. Liberty was never the norm. Free speech and free assembly was never the norm in other nations until this nation here was formed and founded. Absolutely. It was not. You can look it up. You can see what I'm saying. It has been for those who have lived in this nation, but throughout history in other nations, it is not the case. It has not been the case. Matthew 11:12. And from the days, now this is one little verse of scripture that's just tucked right in there. Matthew 11:2, and from the days of John the Baptist until the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Did you ever notice that little verse of scripture being stuck right in there amongst all that?
We have been blessed to live in a nation that has went right now about 150 years without a conflict on its home soil. That's just unheard of. In Europe, it's been 60 years since there's been any violence, since there's been anything on their home soil. And you can go around the world and you can see the same thing. No matter what you think of presidents past, no matter what you think maybe of presidents here just in the recent past, we have lived in a nation where the transfer of power has been very peaceful up to this point in time. That's not the history in the rest of the world. The point I'm getting is Satan is the god of this world, the little g of this world, and there is turmoil in this world, and there will be turmoil in this world, and I will show you up until what point, Lord willing, here in a little bit. That is not the history of the rest of the world. That is not. Many nations, there is bloodshed, there is revolution, there is civil war after civil war, and there is genocide. This nation has not been that way. Not for a long, long time. And whether or not we continue to live as a free nation, I don't know. I'm just here to tell you, and it has not, but I can tell you this, whether or not we live like that as a free nation, Christians, I want you to understand this, it does not have any bearing on whether or not the Bible is true and God is true. Our liberties could be gone tomorrow. The freedom that we have could be gone tomorrow, and I'm talking about American Christianity, and I'm talking about American, no matter what happens, brothers and sisters, I want you as Christians to understand, if that liberty's gone, it still does not make the Bible untrue, and it still does not make God untrue. Or God being faithful or being unfaithful to us, that doesn't make any of that. No, it may come to the point where Christians in this nation will have to learn to live like Christians have lived for the last 2,000 years in other nations. That's my point here this morning, brothers and sisters. There is a God of this world out there who has control over all these other things and is working them. And don't think for a minute that he doesn't have control in this nation, because you can see it if you don't. If you aren't, you are blind. But none of these things were ever... Brothers and sisters, I like being comfortable. How about you? I like being free. I like prosperity. I could go around this church and ask all of you, because that's what you have been accustomed to in this nation, in your life. You've been accustomed to that. But none of these things have ever been promised to one Christian. No matter what the prosperity preachers try to tell you, none of this stuff has ever been promised 100% to every Christian. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. Again, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, if you believe like I believe every bit of the scripture, and I believe that the God of this world has blinded the rest of this world. And brothers and sisters, unfortunately, he is starting to blind some Christian people as well. I don't believe 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 are the words of Paul, per se. I believe they are the words of God with inspiration of the Holy Spirit that were given to Paul, and they were written down for every born-again believer to understand and to read. And it is written down for us this morning. It is written down for us this morning. Listen, God through the Holy Spirit said, Satan is the god of this world. You believe what God's word says? He's the god of this world. And the world is blind to the gospel. The world has a religion. The world has all this. But they don't believe the gospel that has been presented to it out there. They have sacraments. They have ceremonies. They have baptisms. And they have ordinances. But they do not believe. They do not believe and see the true gospel message. Because why? Because Satan has blinded the eyes of those people out there. They don't believe it. I want all you to understand this morning, I believe God is all powerful. And you're thinking, you may be thinking back here, and I can see your eyes. You're thinking, whoa, but God is all powerful. But do not understand that there is an order to this thing, and God has placed it. He has put it in effect for a reason. But I also believe that with all-powerful God, and many times and in many ways, He limits His power. He puts checkpoints on it. And let me give you a couple of examples this morning for Christians and for Bible. The Word of God says, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is. Does the Bible, you believe that, right? Well, does every Christian assemble themselves together every time? Why? If God's all powerful, why didn't He make them do it? God is not that kind of a God. He doesn't impose Himself on people. He wants you to do that, but He doesn't impose Himself on you. How about, yes, you should be my witness. And I heard some people talking about that. Did every Christian witness to somebody down through the week? Probably not. I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to tell you. Why not? Couldn't have God have made you? Yeah, He could have made you. But He didn't. You see, God checks His power. He could do it. Don't get me wrong. He could do it. God has unlimited power. The Bible tells us how powerful the God we serve is. Absolutely. In Revelation, but I want another point in check. Turn to Revelation 11:15, I'm sorry. This is the trumpets. This is during the tribulation period. And this is the last trumpet of the tribulation period. Revelation 11:15. When you're there, say amen, please. And the seven angels and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of the world are become the kingdoms of who? Our Lord." Well, weren't they our Lord's before? "And of His Christ. And He shall reign forever and ever." As you read this scripture, realize they're coming out of the great tribulation period. They're coming out of it. And Jesus is getting ready to do what? To set up His millennial kingdom. God is going to assert His power here and there over all the nations of the world. And what does the last part? The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. God has the power to do whatever He wants, but He's going to do it, and He will do it. Now look at the next two verses there. "And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and has reigned." Praise His name. He has held back what He was going to do. It's coming to fruition, brothers and sisters. Christians, hold on. I'm not preaching to you in American Christianity today where everything is roses and plums and everything. Brothers, listen, times are a change, and get ready. God will not take unto Himself this power until the second coming of His Son, Jesus Christ. Folks, if they will become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, that's when it's going to happen. What is the kingdom? When does the kingdom come to pass? When shall it be? At His second coming is when it does. Whenever He comes to set up the millennial kingdom. He's coming. Let me give you a time frame. People, including Christians, sometimes what we do, we'll get so dismayed. We'll get so dismayed whenever God allows bad things and evil things we think in this world to happen. Why did God allow that to happen? God has allowed Satan to have his way on this earth. Why? For a long, long time. A holy and a righteous God is not the God of Hollywood, right? He has never lost anything that he is in control of. God is not. Let's just be upfront with that right now. Never. What He is in control of, God will never lose control of it. But God is not the God of Hollywood right now. Amen? You tell me that he is the God of Hollywood right now. God, a holy and righteous God, is not the God of the educational system. I've heard, we got lots of good teachers in here. We got saved, born again teachers in here. And I know sometimes when you say that, you're painting not with a wide brush, but with a daggone push broom sometimes. And I know better than that. But they'll tell you that God, a holy and righteous God, is not over all the educational systems in this place. He's not. I read something the other day where a private school in New York City, they just fired a teacher, a first grade teacher, for teaching her kids how to masturbate and showing them a video. It's out there. Look at it. And you tell me that God is the God of the educational system. A holy and righteous God is not the God of the fashion industry. Amen, or oh my. He's not. God hasn't lost control over anything which he's had control. The New Testament church was born in troubled times. Just read about it. Paul's missionary journeys took, listen, when Paul took him to places where other gods were worshipped. Greg had mentioned about today about Ashtaroth. And I mean, there was a place where God went into. They even set up a god to the unknown god. Because they didn't know, they had all these other gods, but that's how they set it up. And those who dared preach against their gods were either imprisoned or they were killed. Right? Well, look at Paul, look at all the Peter, Paul, and all of them in the early days of the church. They were called into courts. They were called in there, and they stood before leaders, and they forbid them. They said, do not talk about this Jesus. Do not talk about him. Do not talk about Christianity. Don't talk about any of it. And when they continued to do it, what were they done? They were imprisoned or they were killed. And guess what God did? God welcomed martyrs into heaven. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we are not, no matter what you think in this country, we are not under persecution yet. I'm telling you today that there are saved, Holy Ghost-filled Christians, listen to me, who love the Lord as much as you do. And they live in China, they live in North Korea, they live in Muslim countries, and every other country dominated by dictators. They are there, and they are suffering persecution, and they are suffering imprisonment, and they are suffering to death to the day that we live in right now. Yes, there is. We in this country have had it good. And it doesn't mean God has lost his love for them or his love for his church. Or what that the Bible is not true. Absolutely not. Some American Christians have gotten into their mind. They got the 2 Timothy 3:12. And yea, all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. We think persecution means, well, we just didn't win the last election. Our guy didn't win. Oh my goodness, isn't that persecution? Or maybe the energy prices may go just a little higher than what we want to pay. Or maybe the economy is going to go bad. Or maybe we're going to lose money out of our 401ks. Or maybe this is going to happen. Or maybe that's going to happen. Just go right on down the line. The pandemic hit this country. And Americans, and I'm talking Christians as well, started complaining because why? Number one, maybe they couldn't take a vacation when they wanted to. Number two, maybe we had to wear a mask for a while. Oh man, man, the humanity, the persecution. I'm just telling you, brothers and sisters, amen or oh my, we think we had it rough. And they're killing people in other nations. Do you know, oh, this is just for your little information. Do you know what the average American takes for vacation a year? They take 18 to 20 days a year, average, is what we take for vacation a year. Do you know what Japan takes? 5 days a year. Just let it sink in a little bit. And we're And we're the ones that have got it so bad. The pandemic didn't just hit this nation. As of June the 11th of this year, 4 million, right around 4 million people have died worldwide because of this pandemic. 4 million worldwide. We as Americans sometimes lose sight of this, that we think, and I know some of you people are thinking, man, he's just so unpatriotic. No, I'm not. You just don't know me. I am very patriotic. But I'm here to tell you today, we as Americans sometimes think we are the only planet on the nation, on this earth. We're the only nation on this planet. Sometimes we think that. Hey, listen. And if we don't get all that we feel we're entitled to, that means God has just given up on the church. He's just given up on the people. He's just given up on everything. Brothers, it's about time we live like the rest of this world has lived as Christians for the past 2,000 years. Then maybe we might get a little bit of a humbling and an understanding of what it is to really, truly be persecuted as Christians, as churches. I hope and pray that doesn't happen. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, they are chipping away at our freedoms and chipping away. It's coming. I'm just preaching. Just be aware. And that this Bible is not true. Some people feel that. And what suffering means to an American Christian. I write down, when I get down these rabbit holes when I'm studying to preach, God just reveals stuff to me. Do you know what the worldwide minimum household wage is? Worldwide average. $9,878. $9,878. Do you know what a McDonald's crew worker working part-time in a year makes in West Virginia? I looked it up. On the average, $12,000 to $15,000 a year. Oh, yes, America. We are so, God is just so much against us, and God is this, and God is that. The minimum wage in the United States is almost $44,000. Because if your Christianity is tied to the American way of life and the foundations and the principles that this nation was founded on, these foundations can be destroyed. There's only one foundation that I can find anywhere. There's only one document that will not pass away. That's it right here. It's not the Declaration of Independence. It's not all the other things sometimes that we lay out there. It's none of that. This right here. My Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away. You may be living in a nation one of these days where you do not have the Second Amendment, where you do not have the right to free speech, where you do not have the right to assemble. Then tell me how it is to live as a Christian. 2 Timothy 3:12, for yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Again, do you believe every word of everything in God's word? I believe it. Do you believe this? Have you been persecuted being a Christian in the United States? Truly been persecuted? I say this once in a while, man. Some people, the worst they get is maybe a door slammed in their face and they go up to Greg and Jamie can tell you, oh man, we've been persecuted. They go up and knock on the door and somebody slammed the door in their face. That's not persecution. American Christians, listen. That means we've been given an exemption and a pass in this country. Because there have been, if you believe the word of God, they were persecuted back then. I've read the stories of in those days where moms and dads were taking out and being burnt at the stake. And them yelling and telling their kids, do not disavow Jesus Christ, as they watch their parents being burnt. American Christians, listen, if you've been allowed to be born in this nation, if you've been allowed to come into this nation, you are truly blessed. You're truly blessed. The Bible didn't say, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution until Washington, until Jefferson, until Franklin put into effect a great nation. It didn't say that. It said all that will live godly will suffer persecution, because our Christians and brothers the past 2,000 years have suffered that. Understand, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, and they're going to keep on deceiving and being deceived. Why? Because the God of this world is going to make sure that there are people like that out there. You should never, ever be. When you see evil stuff happen out here, I'm just going to be blunt with you. Christians, when you see all the evilness that takes place out in his world, don't be a bit surprised. Because listen, I've told you, the God of this world is going to make sure that that stuff happens. We cannot be dismayed when we see it happening. Does any of us like it? No. Absolutely not. I don't like it. So it should not surprise us when we see it. Our schools, our neighborhoods, our states, our nation, and even in our churches embrace evil and are more willing to listen to the voices of seducing spirits than they are to listen to the Word of God and to listen to people preaching the Word of God, because it's laid out in the Bible. If we believe, so just because we as Americans may lose our freedom and our liberties does not mean God has abandoned Christianity. Because he hasn't. In times past, we didn't have as much information as our fingertips as we do right now. We all know that. And we may not, as Christians, paid as much attention to Washington, D.C. as maybe we should have in the past. But I can hear to tell you today, the reason why we're seeing, there has been a lot of evil come out of that for years and years and years. Whether you believe it or not, we just didn't have the technology and the ways to look and see it. And now we do. And now we throw up our hands and we are shocked. And why? It's been going on for years. I might throw Christians things that never have been on the up and up in Washington, D.C. I can just, Christians, you may just see that here this morning. And I know this may surprise you, but it's never been on the up and up there. Never. We've just been too busy doing the work of God, like we should have been, to pay attention to it sometimes. Now, I preached on this here a while back. I'm going to go back to the tares and the wheat just a little bit. My wife says I'm getting too long-winded anymore, so I'm going to get over this here shortly. Matthew 13:24-30. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in the field? From whence then has it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant saith unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reaper, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them into bundles, and burn them, but gather the wheat into my bone. Folks, here is the truth. The sower, and it is the fields, he sowed good seed. He sowed good seed in those fields. Well, here comes the enemy in. And what's he doing in those same fields? He sows bad seed. Because he can. And he sowed bad seed. And the bad seed that is sown by the enemy in the field is noticed by the men that were working in those fields. And can I tell you, we are noticing the bad seed that is coming out of what is being sowed through years past. Amen? We see it. It's coming up. We see it. And they come to tell him. So they come and they tell him. And there's been an enemy in your field. And the owner says, I know it. Nothing gets by God. Can I say that here this morning? God knows what's going on. He sees it.
And they tell him there's been an enemy. He said, I know it. He said, they go on to tell him that the enemy has been in your fields and he has sown bad seed and the seed's growing. And the owner says, yeah, I know that too. And God knows it.
And the workers say, do you want us to go out there and rip that stuff up? And the owner, what's the owner say? He says, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Why? Because the good seed is out there and that good seed is growing. It is growing. And the good seed is growing and it'll grow until the harvest comes. Unless you start messing with the bad seed, and then you're going to uproot some good with it. Amen? Churches and Christians, let me talk to you this morning. Let me make my last point. We are to go out into this world and we are to preach the gospel, telling the world, a lost world, that Jesus Christ saves, and God and the God of this world is Satan. We are to do that. That Jesus seeks to save those which are lost. Mark 16, he does not say, go into all the world and preach what the Democrats and Republicans are preaching. Amen? It doesn't say that. It says, go into the world and preach the gospel. Now, something else I want you to notice about Matthew 13. And Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares. Why did they come and say, declare unto us the parable of the tares? Why didn't he say, come in to declare unto us the parable of the good seed? Christians, we pay too much attention to the tares out there. We're paying too much attention to all the tares that are out here in the world. We've got to be planting the good seed and going out and making sure that we're planting the good seed. You see, Christian church, we are not careful. We can concentrate too much on it. And folks, this past year we've been trying on people, listen, all over the world. But do you realize there have been men and women that have been saved down through this pandemic? There have been marriages put back together down through this pandemic. There have been people who have been healed from drugs and alcohol abuse down through this pandemic. While a lot of us have been focusing on the tares of this pandemic, there have been a lot of good seed that has been sown. Worrying about whether or not, and here we are, we're worrying about whether or not we go on vacation and where we go to eat, if we can get into a place to eat, and we're worried about proms and ball games and whether or not we should wear a mask or not wear a mask and whether or not we get a vaccine or not and if they can play football and baseball and if they can do this and if they can do that. We are worried about all this stuff out here. Whenever Jesus said one thing for us as Christians to do, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we worry about the tares. We have been just too busy paying attention to the tares. God showed me that the other day. I know I preached about the tares here well back in a different way. But you do know there's more, you know, to eat an elephant, you can take it one bite at a time. And in God's scripture, we can slice it a lot of different ways and we can eat it a lot of different ways. We need to stop talking about what the enemy's doing and pour more emphasis on what God is doing. You agree with me on that this morning? We have become experts at looking for the bad seed. All of us have. I mean, I'm pointing my finger. There's what they always say. There's four of them pointing right back at you, right? I have become that way as well. I look at the bad. I want to look at the bad constantly. And I'm not looking at what the good things that God is accomplishing out there. And all that he does is get in our minds and preoccupy. The enemy gets in there and just preoccupies us. And we are not doing what Jesus wants us to do. We need the lessons that Jesus told Peter and apply it to us. In John 21 and 20, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?
Peter, seeing him, that's John, saith unto Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? We all need this lesson. Jesus saith unto him, If he will tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Quit worrying about what's going on out here. Do what the Lord wants you to do. Stand upon His promises. Stand upon His word. Matthew 13:40. And therefore the tares are gathered into the barn, and the fire, and it shall be the end of the world. Here's my little estimation, and I'm going to close here. Belinda, you can come up and get a song if you want to. Here's the timeline that Dave Long, this is Dave Long's timeline. We have the Old Testament. We had the birth of Christ. We had the life of Christ. We had the crucifixion of Christ. We had the resurrection of Christ. We have the New Testament church. We have the rapture of the church. We have the great tribulation period. And then we have the second coming of Christ. That is the beginning of the kingdom. That's it right there. When He comes to set up the millennial kingdom, that is the beginning of the kingdom. That's the end of the world means when Jesus comes to set up His kingdom, the start of the millennial reign. And that is when He's supposed to gather the wheat from the tares. That's when the gathering is complete. The church goes out during the rapture. But there's going to be more gathering. You understand that? Up until that point. I don't have all the answers to how or why, but I believe His word. Do what we're supposed to do. Doing the Lord's field. Stop concerning ourselves with what's going on around here. And the point of it is, if we were too busy years ago to worry about what was going on in Washington, D.C. because we were trying to serve the Lord, we need to get busy about serving the Lord today and stop worrying about what's going on out here in the world. Amen?